This week's podcast is brought to you by Facial Roots. It doesn't matter if you're chopping wood or just watching Netflix, our men's product will make you look good no matter what you're doing. All of our products are made right here in Canada. They're vegan, biodegradable, and they're never tested on animals. Being manly is more than just looking and smelling good. It's about doing what's right. Stay tuned for the official release. In this week's podcast, we sit down with Marilee Maynard. She is a writer and director at TV Industry. She is a radio talk show host at CIBL 101.5. She is also currently trying to build a hip-hop bridge between Montreal, Toronto, and New York to allow for easy collaboration. In the podcast, we speak about hip-hop, her goals, and what her definition of success is. We even speak about politics and current affairs. You can find us at Podcast RJL on both Facebook and Instagram. You can find me, Nico Lagan, on Facebook, Instagram, and Rumble. All of the podcasts are available at rjlp.net/episodes. Look at our new news segment called RJL News. Peace. Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm sitting here with Marilee Maynard. What's cracking?
What's up? What's popping?
So funny enough, I was recording a commercial for a line of products that I'm releasing soon, and somehow you showed up with Ruck.
Yep.
So turns out that it looks like you're doing something quite interesting with the U.S., so we figured I have all my gear here, you're here, took advantage of sit down and recording something.
Yeah,
so
let's talk about it.
Explain to me while I start my cigar what it is that you do.
All right. Well, I mean, I do a lot of stuff, but I feel like the idea behind it, well, it's so sexy. The idea behind it is
talking
to really,
me?
No, talking about the way that you're lighting up this shit.
Yeah. If you look at the video, I use a blowtorch.
If only. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There you go.
I do have a blowtorch for cigars.
The only motherfucking way. Yeah. So the idea is that like I'm really involved into hip hop. In many very various ways, because I'm a rapper too. I radio host a hip hop show in French, and we're building, a lot of us are talking about building a bridge between Montreal and New York and Toronto to like really bring back everybody together with this idea, like this very 90s idea of really just like sticking together pretty much. So it's very organic the way that we're doing this. So it's really just like pretty much like we, you know, got to know one another.
Yep.
You know, we just sit down, we talk, and we try to see what fits and what we can build together, like, and how we can build together, like how we can link up.
What would be your ultimate goal? If everything went well, where would it go? What would happen to make you feel that you succeeded, if I can say it that way?
Yeah, we were talking today too about like what it is to be
successful.
What it means to you to be successful.
Yeah, what it means to you exactly.
To me, being successful and accomplishing is accomplishing things and feeling satisfied with what I accomplish. And ultimately, what I do want to accomplish is building my own radio station. Because in Montreal, we don't have a hip hop station.
Seriously?
We do not. We
I
have
thought there's
shows.
A lot of people. Okay.
We have
I see
shows,
what you're
but we don't
yeah,
have
yeah.
our frequency where 24/7 there's hip hop shows playing.
Yep.
So my goal is to really bring something on the table in Montreal and really bring the community back together like New York is doing with Breakfast Club, with Drink Champs, with like a bunch of these ideas, these beautiful ideas that just makes us want to construct and build an empire together, which we don't have in Montreal because of the Francophone and Anglophone culture that we just like. It's kind of like we have a lot of stuff in common, especially in hip hop, but we still have that duality in language and in perceiving the world through that culture that we just don't blend very well.
How do you think the hip hop compares if you're obviously not French and English, but English to English, like English hip hop from Montreal or Toronto? How would it compare to something coming out of New York? Because personally, I'm a big hip hop head.
Yeah.
I've always loved, I'm a Wu-Tang fan. This to me.
I mean, I grew up with Immortal Technique.
Yep.
And Erykah Badu. Like, yep. I had the whole
What a beautiful individual that person is. And I'm not talking, she's a beautiful woman, but she looks like a beautiful soul.
She is a beautiful soul. She's weird as fuck. But that's why we love her.
I'm weird as fuck, too. I like weird people.
She kind of took that and made into a brand, you know? It's the unicorn brand. It's Erykah Badu. So anyway, like, I grew up with this, the old school, like, a lot of people can listen and say that they listen to Wu-Tang, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying that in disrespect, you know? I'm just saying that, like...
I'll cry later.
It goes...
I won't cry right now. I'll be later. It's fine. Don't worry.
It's just, like, there's more to hip-hop than Wu-Tang, but Wu-Tang did bring... I mean, they have a Wu-Tang beer. They have a Wu-Tang...
It's the presence. It's the presence. Like, having 15, 20 guys on stage, that
charisma.
But on the other hand, they're not lyricists. Like, if you look at a guy like
one Ghostface of the most,
yeah, but he doesn't compare to a Nas.
No, it's
like you look at a Nas, he has to be the most underrated rapper ever.
But that's the way he loves it, though.
But yet, have you?
Did you listen to his latest album?
No.
Yo, you have to, like, and then you have to get back to
like,
me.
Like, it was that. Written to me is still one of the best album ever released.
Yeah.
And it's just that the guy is a phenom. He is not an educated man by regular standards. But when it comes to understanding of life, he's a very well-read individual. And you can hear it.
He's got street smarts to another level.
Yeah.
Is what happens with Nas. And that's what I'm saying is that a lot of people are saying that they listen to hip-hop. Mm. And especially, like, and I'm talking about also, like, the Francophone side of Quebec. Where they're like, oh yeah, I listen to hip hop, but it's just like, but you do you know your roots?
Yeah, probably
but that's,
not.
That's also something that's generational. Is that a lot of people will not have the weight of the roots?
How old are you, if you don't mind me
asking? I'm 34.
Yeah, okay, that explains it. I'm 38.
But I'm at the limit where like I could go either way.
Yeah.
But to me, it's really important because I grew up with soul. I grew up with Marvin Gaye as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's just like there's like the roots for me is really important.
And you're not talking about the group.
No, I'm not. But at the same time, awesome. You know what? I was actually flashing about this because it reminds me of Dave Chappelle that I saw live with the Roots.
Yeah, the drummer, the bassist was often with Dave Chappelle, like the big.
Well, I mean, the whole
big,
band.
The
was
big
there,
fro
yep.
guy. I don't know what his name is.
Quest.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, like, to go back to, like what, like the importance of hip hop is really like, especially in Anglophone culture, I feel like we do relate much more in that language in the way that like, it has a different vibe in French and English. I mean, you can take this guy right here, Le Cerveau, you know, he still has the roots, but it's just like, it feels different when it's spoken in English.
Oh, he raps in French, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. With a name like The Brain in French, he obviously, he obviously does it in French.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think it's just a matter also of like how you've been raised.
Mm.
What situations made you who you are and how you deal with those situations. Whereas like in Montreal, we don't have the same ghettos that they will have in Harlem.
No, obviously.
So we don't have the same struggles. So, like, when I got into hip hop, the people around me did not listen to hip hop. I was alone in the fucking universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, listen to Sans Pression, you know, back in the days, too, and Mazayan and all that stuff.
I'm a big fan of Sans Pression. Mazayan
is shout out
so
to SP. Shout out to Impasse, which is like on all fucking buses in Montreal with Le Connaisseur.
They are so underrated. Mazayan.
Exactly.
Like Lounge With Me Mazayan from Mazayan.
Bumped in 2002 up
What's
to
the name of the girl? What's the
J. name? J. Kill.
Her. She.
She's Impasse's sister.
Impact. Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We had them. I used to organize hip hop shows, and we had what's the tall guy? The guy that's freakishly tall in Mazayan. He had a fro. He's super skinny.
Fuck man, I'm losing the word. Like,
yeah, it's all good, but it's Mazayan back in the days was very good. So was Sans Pression.
SP is out there still. Yeah, these days. He's
yeah, but he has a chip on his shoulders. I feel like. Like he doesn't sound the same as he used to.
Well, I mean, it's kind of normal, you know. He's not going through the same struggles. He's not as hungry.
Yeah,
he's made his way, so he's kind of just like living off the hype that he's building right now. Is the way that I see it. I mean, he's doing what he like. Are you really going to be like 50-year-old about the same?
Is he that old?
Actually,
I can't believe that.
I'm not sure what. What? Oh man, I feel fine. Bad now.
No, but that's okay.
But that's not something that's really important to me in terms of age. But it's just, oh, you're looking it up.
That's why I have my laptop there.
42.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
42. But I say yeah, that 50 sounds about right.
In terms of like to
he's
like
he's closer to his 50 than his 30s.
Well, it's not that. It's also like just like I feel like you're a real OG around that age. Mm. You know, because you were there back in the days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's something about how you, like, the decisions that you make based on the situations and the struggles that you went through. So, for the longest time, what I was thinking about, and it relates to what we were talking about this morning, too, is, like, how much can you actually relate to hip-hop if you didn't go through the same kinds of struggles? Like, how good a rapper can you be? How good a lyricist can you be if you haven't ever been in a ghetto type of living?
That's a good question.
That's something that I'm always going to struggle with. And that's something that, like, the fact that I think about this when I do write, when I do rap, it's always going to show in terms of, like, I haven't been in the same kinds of situations in the same ghettos, but I do relate in terms of ancestors. So that's the way that I go through. Like it's more like of a conscious hip hop, where like the East Coast hip hop, the New York hip hop is something that I relate to much more than the West Coast. West Coast is more chill, whatever. Yeah. But the East Coast is going to be much more. It's going to be deeper. You know, we're going to talk about real shit. And I feel like one of the best groups that actually made that so clear to me in terms of hip hop is Dead Prez. There it's the only crew that I can listen to each album no skips.
Yeah.
The only one.
There's not a lot of that left, huh? You don't have a lot of artists now that are able to release an album and you simply press play.
Exactly.
They have one or two good songs that sells the album. And most albums are not sold anymore. They just sell the individual music.
Singles. Yeah. It's a very, you do singles and then you put out an EP and then you put out an album. But usually, like, also you're going to put out a video clip even before the single or at the same time as a single. It's really different. And that's where, like, sometimes we're stuck. Sometimes I even feel stuck in the 90s where I'm like, oh, yeah, it's true. I should be doing that, you know, just to, like, in terms of marketing.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm really glad for Impasse and Sans Pression because, like, they actually took that wagon.
Yeah.
Where they were like, okay, well, I mean, we've evolved with the technology, so let's just fucking do this, you know?
You don't have a choice anymore.
Well, you have the choice.
True. You always have the choice. But if you want to
stay underground or you want to put your voice out there and reach out.
One of my favorite by far is Jedi Mind Tricks.
Oh,
that, if you ask me, best
Jurassic
rapper.
Jurassic 5, Jedi Mind Tricks, yeah.
But Jedi Mind Tricks, for people don't understand, those guys have 20 albums out. Like, go on Spotify. They have them all. It's fucking ridiculous. They have like 20 albums.
Yeah.
Those guys are, but so long they've been under the radar, and that's what they wanted. They did not record music videos for the longest time. They wouldn't.
To a lot of the, like, that's also like the basics of hip hop is like it, you're selling out at a certain point.
But it's
like, yeah. like the mainstream hip hop yeah. cut. Like I feel like in the 2000s, like the big heads, which were pretty much like old white people that were running the music industry, actually caught up to hip hop, and that's where Wu-Tang and even NWA went like, okay, well, you know what? Let's like actually like challenge you guys and yeah. put ourselves and take a stance.
But it's a good thing they had a guy like Rezo. Because that guy's yeah. That guy's a brain. Yeah. That guy's a brilliant.
Well, he's
brilliant.
A razor. He's razor sharp. That's why. Yeah,
but he's a brilliant man. He's a brilliant, I mean, brilliant man.
They even did shows, and he's also a mathematician.
I would believe that. Yeah, I would believe
that.
He's
like
he's a clever guy.
Smart.
He's a very clever person.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of these hip hop heads are much more intelligent than they're portrayed for.
It's but that's because it's a lack of education. The formal education, as yes. I could say so. But I've always found that interesting because in the work that I do, I work with engineers.
Mm-hmm.
I have in a team of probably 25, 20 of us, there's myself and somebody else that's not engineered.
Mm.
Like we're not engineers. Our role is. But I have a year and a half of technical college and I make as much money as engineers. I even have mm-hmm. the title.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I guarantee you that I read 10 times more than they do. And I know 10 times more than they do because my brain does not work in a school.
Mm. It,
my brain does not work that way. And I guarantee you that a guy like Reza did not go to school. A guy like Nas did not go to regular school. But speak to those people, the knowledge that they've gathered because they're just brilliant minds.
Mm-hmm.
They just gathered it not in a school format. They just did it on their own. And they Nas is an avid reader.
Yeah. And Havoc, too. I mean, I was actually speaking with Havoc a while back. And
Havoc, not the guy from
Mobb Deep. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Mobb Deep.
Random, random. Like, I was just like, let me just holler at this guy.
Most of them respond.
Exactly. And
most
I was like, wow.
Respond.
I was so impressed. I was actually supposed to meet him, but it didn't turn out like it. Like, he's a pretty busy guy.
Technology has enabled that. That's what's great. You're exactly. able to reach out to people that no way 10 years ago
Even
you would have
Jada
been able.
Kiss reached out to me.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I didn't have anything prepared. So I was like, fuck, I missed my chance.
Yeah.
But the idea also is, yeah, it's like they're human beings, you know?
Human beings stuck to a phone like you and I so you can reach out to them.
Exactly.
If it just happens that you send a message at the time that they're looking at their phone, they might just fucking pick it up.
And we were talking about politics. Like, he was talking about how important it is and how music has a different person. Like, he has a different perspective on music. Like, to him, it wasn't
You're talking about Jadakiss or Havoc?
I'm talking about Havoc.
Okay.
For
those of you that don't know Havoc, shame on you. Shame on you. Go look up some old school Mobb Deep. Fuck. Shame on you if you
Prodigy's,
don't know.
Prodigy's fucking duo. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a...
He took it rough.
I like Prodigy more than... like, if we can say it that way, I like
his
style.
He was more in the limelight. He was louder.
Yeah, he was more relaxed. But man, when Mobb Deep signed with 50 Cent, I'm a big fan of 50. I don't care what anybody says.
He's a businessman.
Yeah,
he knows
not,
what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, but not only that, he's a gangster. That dude
of course.
Is... That's why I liked Wu-Tang, because those guys are not pussies that grew up with a lot of money. A lot of those guys are, I like gangsters. I like Mobb Deep.
Well, and that's what I was saying earlier. Like, what does it take for you to be an actual good rapper? Like, do you have to go through that struggle where you become a gangster or a thug?
No, I don't think so.
But it is, because what you're saying right now is that you prefer gangsters.
But that's my style. But when I grew up, between you and I sold drugs. I did a lot of stupid shit when I grew up.
So that's why you relate to them.
I identified with that because I did some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yet, if you look at Eminem's first album, he's not a gangster, but he talks about drugs.
Yeah, to me, that's like a...
But the first album, I'm not a fan of...
Me neither.
Of Eminem.
And I just wanted to put it out there.
Just,
Eminem is really not my thing.
But not anymore. But his first album, to me, was brilliant because of the way he's able to put words together, even to this day.
That for sure.
I just don't like the person.
Yeah, I don't like his subject. I will respect the guy just because of everything that he's done.
And that's what I'm saying.
I don't think that he deserves as much credit as he has. But at the same time, he did open a lot of doors.
Well, he took it mainstream. He really, really put it. He's one of the first guys to really...
I mean, I'm thankful for him just for Shade 45.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, even man, just on that, XM you know? Radio, yeah, yes. Or Sirius Radio,
yeah,
whatever.
Sirius
you,
XM, yeah. That and Rock the Bells and
oh, I love that station. What's the name of the guy that's at night? Rude Jude. For the longest
one
time,
one more Jude. Yeah.
For the longest time, I had Radio XM for one thing, and it was him.
Yeah.
Until you realize he's just a white Jewish boy.
I know, love it. But he's Jewish, so it makes a huge difference.
But that's what makes it funny. He sounds like a really thuggish black guy. And then you look at a picture, he's like a Jew boy with a little fro. We're like,
what the fuck? And then when we don't know, like even in with Sway in the Morning.
Oh, I love Sway.
He's so fucking positive. Like I'm not religious in the same way. Yeah, but like those Wednesdays, like the Wednesdays and the... And Thankful Fridays, was it Good News Friday? Good News Thursdays. Yo, those made me cry. Like, that's how deep it goes. It's so deeply powerful and positive, you know? So, and then with Mike Muse as well, that talks about politics.
But Mike Muse is a very intelligent, like, I've never looked him up, but he looks like the type of black guy that's wearing a suit. He looks to me, because I'm pretty sure he works in Washington. Or he's very close to Washington, D.C. because he's extremely, extremely savvy. Mm. I'm a very political person. And when when I lived in Toronto, I used to listen to it in traffic. Mm. And the dude is brilliant, 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 man.
What I love about him as well, even more than just like the person and what he talks about, is that he brings it down for people to understand.
Well, it is a skill to be able to put it in layman's terms. Like we say in English, but
he's a good teacher at the same time.
It comes down. I was just explaining that this morning. I teach martial art. I've been in martial art for most of my life. And one of the hardest things that I've realized is you run a class that you have 40, 50 people in it, and you're showing a technique that you do with your eyes closed. Like you don't even need, if you throw a two punch combination that you've thrown your whole life. And then you have to explain, until you've explained it to a beginner, you do not know how well you control that subject. Are you that good? Because knowing a technique is one thing, but being able to break it down into sections that to a beginner make sense, that they can comprehend, is a skill in itself.
Even just the movement where you're like, my body has never done that.
But it's to everything. That's what's extraordinary about a guy like Mike Muse, is the fact that he's able to take a subject that's extremely dense. You're talking about a subject that most people don't want to know about.
Exactly.
And he somewhat makes it fun.
But it's also just about voting. He breaks it down that, like, don't think about Trump necessarily, but think about, like, every single person that is representing your district and talk to them.
Well,
be part of your community.
But politics is a local sport. That's one thing that people tend to forget is if you want to become political, do it on a very small level. Do it on a regional level.
Because you're going to feel your own impact. So therefore, you're going to actually want to get yourself involved a little bit more. And that's what, like, because I used to be very political. I used to be an activist. And I cut down on that because I was beginning to be, like, so aggressive. That I was like, okay, I need to calm the fuck down, and you know,
activists about what? No, I'm curious. No, but what were you What were you complaining about?
I was looking into, because I was reading a lot of Karl Marx, so I was looking into communism.
You're talking about the guy that's written the book on socialism or communism.
And I was looking into that. Like, I was
The Communist Manifesto. It's behind you. Oh, no, it's not. It's not a good thing. Right. I read that because that is pure propaganda.
And I was also reading about Che Guevara's autobiography.
Yeah.
So I was looking into, like, anarchy and syndicalism and, like, unions and how they work. Mm-hmm. And I was in that phase where I was like pretty much questioning everything, in from politics to gender to how you raise your family and how you perceive yourself, and from like punk to hip hop. So I was just like, I was all over the place. So I had to take a step back to really like tone it down and put my mind into it.
Okay, now you're screwed, because you touched on the subject that I'm very, very interested in.
Shit.
Oh, yeah, you fucked yourself on that one, and yeah. I'm going to keep on pushing. So tell me, do you see some value into what Karl Marx says?
I do.
Explain that to me.
I do see the value in terms of a spiritual way, because I've become much more spiritual from that point, where I was like going crazy about how anarchy did not have a specific way for it to work. In terms of like the way that I figured that I saw it at that point, is you can use anarchy and socialism and some of Karl Marx's ideas to overthrow a government. But I felt as though what was said in Karl Marx and from Che Guevara in terms of communism and how you rebuild the culture, it would not be strong enough for the overthrown government to actually go back to something that was solid. I felt as though it wasn't strong enough for it to not become chaotic for decades.
So tell me, why would you ever want to overthrow a government? Explain that to me.
Well, that's what actually caused me to take a step back, because I did not actually ask myself that question at that time. Mm. And I actually went from fuck the government to no, fuck what's wrong with the government.
Mm.
You know, so I became much more into specific types of ways of really getting back to the community,
yeah,
taking advantage of what capitalism actually brings to us and how we can do pretty much what we want, just as long as we actually do it well in terms of ethics.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at, my head is at right now, in terms of like, if you go into a very socialist economy or socialist society in general, if you go, like, for example, Cuba.
Which is under a dictatorship, under yes, communist dictatorship?
It's a dictatorship, but it's communism.
Every single communism country is a dictatorship.
Exactly. So that's what made me kind of, like, question how socialism is really efficient.
It's not. There is... The only way, I'm very versed on the subject. Actually, right now I'm finishing up Free to Choose from Milton Friedman, which was written in the 80s and even actually started in 1965 to be exact. But the socialism does not work. Neither does communism.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, most people associate capitalism with bad, because they're like, the problem with capitalism is big corporations.
Well, it's not just big corporations, but it's taking the monopoly over something and taking away the democracy or the power of the people.
You believe that in a socialist country, the people have the power?
No. And that's what I'm saying, is that there's no perfect system.
The most perfect system we've ever invented is free market under capitalism.
Which is what we're living in right now.
No, not anymore. We haven't been in it since about the 80s. Yeah, it does not exist anymore.
So explain to me what is...
I'm so happy we're going there. I love this subject. It's one of my favorite subjects.
So we went from hip-hop to politics, like deep politics.
Yeah, but but listen, if you listen to most very good hip-hop that are not gangsters, they're extremely political.
Conscious hip-hop, exactly.
And to me, this... Now at my age, I will still listen to old school hip hop because it kind of fucks with my heart, because this is what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
But then now I love to hear somebody that's deprived or that was deprived growing up,
mm-hmm.
that understands politics in general. Because unless you understand politics and you understand how economy works, you have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
But the thing is that you have to be hungry enough to actually learn about economy and politics.
Or have good mentors. Or you have to
But if you don't have access to those mentors necessarily, because, I mean, if we talk about the Black community where, like, they had no access, they had to build their own access and build that community so that they do have access, you know?
This one, unfortunately, can be explained. It's very harsh. What's going on in ghettos in the U.S., especially, unfortunately, with most of the Black community is I can't understand that they're in the state that they're in and they're being left there, if I can say that one. It's a very touchy subject, but there is a big lack of, unfortunately, they made it. It's, if you look at, have you ever looked at a documentary called Uncle Tom?
I've heard about it, but I haven't watched it.
I cannot remember what the name of the guy is, but they go into very much detail on what's going on, what can be done. What can be done to actually make it better, but it reminds me
of Eldridge Cleaver.
I'm looking up the name of the guy because I feel really bad that I keep on forgetting this guy's name. What's his name? Larry Elder. Dude is, unfortunately, he's being ridiculed in the U.S. because he was part of Trump. He wasn't only a supporter, he was part of his party at one point, but the guy is just, he's a doctor that used to, I don't know that he still is to this day, I think he does other things now, but all to say that he's a very educated individual, and instead of blaming the government for the problems that are going up into the Black communities, he blames themselves.
Yeah.
Because I strongly believe, and that comes back to what you were saying about socialism, the problem with socialism and communism, the biggest issue is that I hear all the time people complain about capitalism when it creates monopolies. But capitalism does not create monopolies. What creates monopolies is when...
It's
the government. Is when the government is so big that it can be lobbied. The problem with capitalism is lobbyists. When the government has so much power that they can take decisions as to who can and cannot operate. Look at what's going on right now. It's the perfect example.
Yeah.
So you have, now you have free enterprises that, like gyms, for example, they're not allowed to operate. You have certain products now in Quebec that are not available in the stores anymore because the government deems them non-essential. So now the government has so much power that they can decide what a free enterprise can and cannot do.
By a created situation of danger.
See, the thing is whatever you believe about COVID doesn't matter. The situation is here. Whatever you want to believe, that's your own opinion, and I will respect that. I believe in free speech. I will die for somebody's opinion, even if I think they're idiots. You're allowed to. You have the right to have your opinion, even if I don't agree with it.
Of course.
The issue is that when the government is so big that they choose who can and cannot compete, the problem with that is that the people that have the most money can buy the government, and that's what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. So you can't go to a grocery store and buy what you want. You can't go to Canadian Tire to buy what you want. But somehow I can order everything from Amazon.
The analogy that I have with this situation, also going back to Larry's point of view, is like how a squad of animals can be like maybe there's like 20 animals running from two predators.
Yep.
They could actually fucking kill the predators. Mm-hmm. But they don't. So that's how we see also the community is like, we're not strong enough to overthrow the power that's being on top of us and preventing us from actually reaching.
Unfortunately, that's not true. It's a belief that we hold.
Exactly. It's a perspective. It's a belief that actually blocks us from being like, well, you know what? And I think that's the entrepreneurship.
Yep. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Is the way of actually breaking that pattern. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about like black owned businesses in the States and here too. Finally, thank you. Is that like, that's how you own your community. That's how you own your own power.
One thing that people forget is if you look under a socialist or a communist government or country, the people do not own the power, the government does. Mm-hmm. Under a free market, under capitalism, mm-hmm. what power is your buying power, is where you decide, yeah. is what you decide to do with the money that you
exactly.
that you own, that you work for. But the big difference is one thing that most people don't understand, and what is so brilliant about the Jewish community is that yeah. one of my best friends is a Jew. He comes from mm-hmm. Israel. He's
an actual Jew. He's
from
American
there. I'm not
Jewish,
saying that if you're here, you're not. I'm just
no,
saying
no, but it's different though. It's like saying you're African American versus yeah. actually for African. You know, it's not the same culture basis. It's not the same perspective necessarily. So,
but the thing that they do and that they understood a very long time ago is buying power. So in the Jewish community in Montreal, for example, what they're going to do is
buy a whole fucking neighborhood.
But why are they capable of doing that?
Because they actually have a head and they actually invest. Everybody has their own kind of title. It's that's where I'm saying that socialism is like you can take some stuff from socialism and actually use it in a capitalist environment where like they buy their own houses, they buy from their own brands, they make their own like wigs, they make their own like every area of things that you need. You have your own grocery stores and you have your own clothing brands and you know and all of that. That makes your neighborhood self-sufficient.
But how are they capable of doing that?
By putting money aside.
Mm-hmm. The reason together. There you go. The reason the Jewish community, and I should say communities, yeah. pretty much everywhere are so powerful is that what they've understood a very long time ago is to stick together. So mm-hmm. let's say that you have a Jewish community and there's 50 business owners, like small business owners within that. Mm-hmm. They will have an association that will gather everybody together.
Yep.
So they will say, okay, within our community, we have that many wig store, we have that many restaurants, we have that many grocery stores. Mm-hmm. We will pull all of our money together instead of everybody buying a small the portion that they need mm-hmm. to provide the services that they want to offer. They will pull everybody together. So when you have somebody that's one of the heads of those associations that goes to a retailer, that goes to a major company to obtain products that they need for their end products,
yeah.
they pull all the money together. So once yeah. when you're dealing with one representative, you might be dealing with 50 companies in the back. Yeah, so that guy exactly. doesn't come here with 50 grand to say, I need that much.
That's how socialism is useful.
But socialism does not work that way. Unfortunately, what Karl Marx says in his book is wrong.
Exactly. But the principles of getting the power back.
But you can't take the power back.
And coming all together.
But that doesn't happen in socialism. Socialism.
No. But the idea that you take from socialism and you create something else with it, like that, like building your own community and self-sustain your own community.
But that has nothing to do with socialism.
But that's how I saw socialism, is what I'm saying.
Easily put, socialism. So the difference between right now, what you see between the left, I don't like to use those terms, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. The difference that you see between left-leaning people, right-leaning people is simple. Is on the left, on the more liberal or democratic portion of the equation, most people want revolution. They want change now. So what they believe in and what socialism believe in is you change a society top-down, so which means that you give so much power to the government that they can trickle down rules.
But that's not how it works. But yeah, okay.
I agree with you 1,000%. This is why every single socialist or communist country needs mm-hmm. to be a dictatorship. No, it needs to be a dictatorship. you need to have a very small controlling head that will take care of everybody. They will decide what is acceptable and not.
They'll take care of everybody, but everybody has power to actually do something with their lives.
Which is why the more conservative people are more capitalist, because they believe in the individual. Because once you realize that a society is simple, is just a number of individuals that came together that decided to live together under the same rules. That's all a society is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for...
Well, decided is a big word, but yeah.
Well, to me, a society doesn't really exist. All it is an amount of individuals that decide to live together.
But it's like borders. They don't actually physically exist.
Well, but it's just one of those things. What we tend to forget and what Karl Marx never understand is you cannot change the individual by changing a society, but you can easily change the society by
changing the individual.
Yeah, the problem with communist countries and capitalist countries is, unfortunately, to make money under a capitalist country takes time.
So, that's okay too.
No, but like it should be like that. Look at somebody. So go back to Anas. You think that guy had all the chances in the world to succeed? Fuck no, he didn't.
No, he did not, but he created some.
But guess what? It takes time.
Of course it takes time.
But this is the problem.
But I feel like even now, like if we go back also to like influencers and ambassadors and those types of people that make like six figure a year. And
what the fuck do you
like
have against
19,
people that do six figures a year?
I'm not saying, no, I'm saying 19 years old.
I'm fucking with you. I'm just fucking with you.
Like the opportunity for some kids that do have that kind of mindset of making that six figure and becoming like a, I don't know, like I see it a little bit as you're like a walking marketing product. And that's how you're making your money.
Yeah, you know, some kids are very clever. They understand. Exactly. They understand the game.
Exactly.
But isn't it not their right to do so, though?
I'm not saying. No. I'm not. It's more.
No.
Like
I'm not saying you didn't say that. I'm asking you. I'm asking. It's their.
It is. What's their right?
What's wrong with understanding how the system works and just playing it? Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just like it's crazy that you do have these opportunities when back in the days, people that would need to have, not necessarily need, but would deserve to have that kind of...
What do you mean by define deserve?
That's, I'm getting that. Like, in terms of like how you should be having much more money or much more resources.
Why?
To do what you're meant.
Why would you need more money?
Because of the purpose. Because of like some people would actually use that money into building something out of that money. It's in how you divide also, like in how you invest in other companies, you know? Like some people would be really great leaders or great head of businesses, but they don't have that kind of resource because they're blocked from that resource either by themselves or by the society around them.
Yeah, but if you look at most great individual men, women, doesn't matter, they always struggled to get where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my biggest problematic that I see with the time that we live in right now is people want not only do they want the opportunity, but they want to control the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where communists and socialists get it wrong. You cannot control the outcome of a situation because it is directly...
You're not supposed to control the outcome of anything.
I believe that everybody should have the same opportunities. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not... No, but it's not the case. Like how somebody that was born with a handicap that prevents him from walking, for example. I'm just using an example right now. Unfortunately, that person probably will never go to the Olympics in the regular Olympics. I'm not talking about... But what I'm saying is...
Unless they have the resources to build legs. Robotic legs. You know what I mean? Like that's also an opportunity. Like if you do have the resources and the money, you can do any fucking thing that you want.
But that's not true.
But
because you need... No,
but the doors are open though.
No, they're not. because it has nothing to do with the opportunity does not define the outcome.
I'm not saying that it defines the outcome, but I'm saying that if the doors are already open, it's going to be easier for you to choose that door.
But the doors are open here. You're like when I say here, I always think about North America. We are in some of the best countries on the planet when it comes to being able to create something out of yourself.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of people still want to immigrate here, because we do have more. We're lucky. I'm lucky I was born in Canada.
I'm actually grateful that I'm Canadian.
I totally agree. I don't see myself. I'm not sure I like where we're going right now, but do I see myself living somewhere else? I'm thinking about it and I don't know.
I think that the only place that I would feel at home with, if you take away like the government and how like,
it would
be New York. That's the only other place that I would feel at home.
Yeah.
So far, I've been to a few places. It's just like, that's just my thing. But,
I was having that conversation with Strongman yesterday. He's the third strongest person on the planet. So he gets to travel all over the world. He was telling me that he does between 20 and 25 competition a year. Think about it. That means between almost two competition a month, he's out the country. And he's like, I've been to so many places all over the world.
Yeah.
And if you asked me where I should live, if you gave me the opportunity to live wherever I wanted, I'd fucking come back to Quebec. He lives in Quebec City, and he's like, there's nowhere else in the world that I would live in.
See me, like, especially, like, even if I chose Quebec, I would choose Montreal over
anything else. But that's fine, like, Quebec, Montreal, or Canada.
Yeah, but it's true. I get why, because we're like, the perfect mixture of everything.
Well, at least we used to be. Now, I don't like the directions we're going, but the point I'm trying to make is that we are as free, although...
If you take the native side of things, it's going to be a little heavier. That's for sure. I mean, we still don't have the rights that we should. But
no, nothing is perfect in life. But the point I'm trying to make is that we have some of the best opportunities here. Mm-hmm. But we also have some of the laziest people too.
I feel like, and that's, it comes back to what we were talking earlier also, is like how you go through struggles to actually become successful and become
iron
something of
forges
yourself.
Forges iron, and your success is directly attached to the amount of sacrifice you're ready to make.
It's like a woman, like for example, like a woman that becomes a CEO of her own company, and it makes like seven figures. You will praise that woman because she is a woman and she made it through what society imposed on her to like block her.
Do you honestly believe that society blocks women?
I'm not anymore.
Because that's another great subject that I like.
It is. Yeah, of course. Well, I am a woman.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm not
dated.
Scared to speak about that. That's fine.
No, that's okay. But I'm just like using a very generalistic point of view of society, just to give an example.
Yeah.
So, but you take another woman that becomes a CEO, but she's also a single mom of like five kids.
Yeah.
And she was abused. And, you know, you add all that struggle. Who are you going to praise more? The girl that didn't have to struggle to become the CEO, or the girl who struggled and fucking made something of herself, even though she had
to. But how do you know that the first one didn't struggle?
I'm not saying I don't know. I'm saying like...
But that's the point. You don't know.
Okay, that's what you're saying in terms of like, you don't know how she struggled. But it's also in calculating the struggles.
But there's no such thing as calculating struggles.
That's what I'm saying. But a lot of people will judge someone by how much struggle they went through.
Oh,
but
fuck
how
yes.
can you... Like, oh, her struggle, yes. like the girl that wasn't abused necessarily, maybe she had her own struggles.
But of course, everybody does.
Of like blocking herself and insecurities and like having a hard time with family and not having any relationships and all that shit. Whereas, you know, like how can you calculate? Like there's no psychologist that would tell you like this person struggled more than the other.
But why is it relevant?
It's not supposed to. But I feel like as a human, sometimes we block ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. Like, I'm 34 year old and I did not buy a house yet. Mm-hmm.
So?
I don't actually care, but I know people that judge me because I haven't gotten to that point.
Who cares?
I know. And that's something that Sway and Tracy G and Heather B were talking about on Sway in the Morning as well, is like, how can you put time limits and deadlines and points? But we do, though.
Yeah,
we do put times. Like, I want to have 5 kids until I'm 30.
Jesus Christ.
No. I'm not saying you. Well, I'm close. But, like, if you say, like, if I'm not successful, whatever it means to you, by 30,
yeah,
and you tell yourself that at 19,
yeah,
then something went wrong.
Sure.
So if you get to the point where you're 30 and you're like, okay, so have I been successful?
Mm-hmm.
Your perspective on your own success has changed.
Okay.
And I hope that people that get through 30 that did not necessarily reach the actual mark that they set themselves, that they realize that they have become successful, just not in the same way.
I just wonder why it's so important to compare what you... Most people will never set goals for once. Most people don't know how to set goals. Neither do they know how to respect and make it happen. Because saying to yourself that by 30 I want to accomplish this, but yet you do not have a plan on how you're going to accomplish that. You don't have a short, medium, and long-term plan.
But that's not something that we learn in school anymore.
I agree.
Or ever, pretty much.
I agree.
I think that one of the things in the last few years that have made me grow as a human being, as a woman,
yeah, I know,
and as a mom especially, is how to set goals.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in my generation, my parents were saying, you can be anything that you want.
Oh, fuck that. It's true.
But that's one side. They would say that. But at the other side is like, but you can't do that. You should be doing this and that and that. My father wanted me to be a firefighter or a police officer.
Yeah.
And then when I do take my pension, I would become an artist. And I looked at him straight in the eyes and I'm like, I'm not going to do the same fucking mistake that you did.
Yeah.
Because my dad was an artist and he decided to work in construction and be a firefighter. And then he like pretty much drove himself sick.
Uh-huh.
By not being the artist that he was.
Yeah, you're going against your own nature.
So, fuck the house. I have 2 kids waiting on a third. I don't need to buy a house right now.
Mm.
It's not my priority. My priority is on my happiness and the stability of my kids' happiness.
Yeah.
I don't care about the house.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but the pressure that you feel from the parents, I mean, in my case, in a lot of people that I know, my dad is actually judging me because I did not buy a house at the same age as him. He bought a 6-plex at 22.
Good for him. Honestly, good for him.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he built it from his own hands.
Yep.
And that's something that I fucking love about my father. He's a handy guy.
That's another thing that's lacking in today's society.
Exactly. And we talked about it. Mm-hmm. Even your publicity is actually all about that too.
Yeah, it's kind of like, ridiculous. It's kind of making fun of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And I feel like women that have grown up with these types of men are intimidating other men that cannot use a drill. Like, I can build my own house. I can fix my own shit in my house. I don't need a man to do it for me.
But why do we worry about this? Why does it matter?
I never worried about that until I got my first boyfriend when I was like 14 or something, real boyfriends, where I was like, oh, so there's a difference between guys and girls? Like, I wasn't never really aware that it was like a huge difference.
But there is a huge difference.
I know there is a huge difference now. But back in the days, I was like, I didn't give a shit. All the people that were around me were boys and men.
Yeah.
I was never around other girls because I just wasn't.
Just happened.
It just happened like that until like very lately. So Like, it's how you perceive all of that and how you grow up and how, you know, it's just, it comes all together where your perspective on yourself makes you either compare yourself or not. So you block your own self from your own accomplishment.
Oh, for sure. At the end of the day. That I do agree with you 1,000%. Because it is that's one thing. Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, and one thing that I find a bit baffling is that I've had the chance to speak to, I'm blessed that I know a lot of people that are quite a lot more intelligent than I am,
mm-hmm.
and somehow they always make the time to answer my question or even come on podcasts with me so that can discuss. Yeah, I'm very blessed when it comes to that. The thing that I never understand the thing that I don't understand from the average individual is why the message is this from every single person, men or women that I've known that's successful, mm-hmm. do not give a fuck about what other people think. They don't. They put the blinders on. There's something they want to accomplish. They just do it.
There's something about energy where you're like, if you focus on what will go wrong and what other people think about you and how to look towards others. Like, I never really cared about how I look.
I can tell.
Motherfucker.
You kind of walked into that.
I know, yeah.
You kind of walked into, yeah, exactly. Well deserved.
But it's just like, I'm always going to stand out. And somebody told me at one point, it's like, oh, well, you don't blend in anywhere. I'm like, why should I?
You're a weird individual.
Why would I want to blend in anywhere? I don't give a shit.
But it's good to be weird. I like to be weird.
To me, it's not like, but there's a lot of people that also going to be like weird in a very like extravagant way as well.
Yeah.
And it's
Weird. Let me rephrase that. By weird, I mean out of the ordinary. You're not a normal
alienated.
Individual. No, but just no, not
yeah.
normal. But every single person
but
that I've ever met.
Normal, you know?
No.
Especially nowadays. Yeah. What is the normality?
It's a good question.
Exactly. It's
it would
a huge
take
question.
It would take more than 5 minutes to answer that question.
That is for sure.
We went all over the place. I like when podcasts go like this, to be honest with you. I never make any plans when I talk to people.
Yeah, it's okay. That's perfect, too. I was like, when you offered to do a podcast, I was like, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Let's see. I work in sales, so I can make shit up out of my ass all the time, so it's not a big deal, but...
Yeah, I can tell.
You know, there's a saying, it's not what you know, is what you can convince people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I always do, I always finish the podcast the same way because we have 5 minutes to go, so I'm going to ask you. I always ask the same question. If you, knowing what you know now, what would you say if you had the chance to speak to your 14-year-old self? What would you tell that individual knowing what you know now?
Don't stop.
Oh, that's great.
That's all I would say. I wouldn't change a thing because if I do change something, everything is going to change.
Oh, you wouldn't be the one you are. You wouldn't be the person you are
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. And I actually love the person that I am right now. Even through all the shit that can go wrong or can go really super well, I wouldn't change a thing. And I will not go back to my 14-year-old self thinking that I'm going to change everything and make it better.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to be better about.
So don't stop.
Don't stop.
Is there something, because I know we barely touched on what you did, but that's it is what it is.
We did not, but we did touch about
so
the perspective.
So do you have something you want to plug in? Is there something you want to mention?
I'm actually building a radio station for real.
Yeah.
That's one of my goals.
Online? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking into it, but right now it's really just on the ice to see like what's going on.
Yeah.
I will be starting my own podcast moving forward from La Fin du Rap, where I'm
the
I'm
end
hosting.
Of rap.
Yeah, the end of rap.
It's going to be French, obviously. Fin du Rap.
But that's like what we're doing right now. Like mm-hmm. I'm part of that group.
Okay.
But I'm actually building Wake the Fuck Up.
Nice.
Which will really be like
a
podcast.
I like the name. I like raw names.
I mean, I'm already kind of branding it, but I'm taking my sweet time because I'm exactly like I like meeting other people and seeing where it leads. Mm. I like it organic. So this is what I'm shouting to. I'm also a writer and director. That's okay. Why I'm working a lot with Rock.
Yeah.
Le cerveau, the brain. Brain. So yeah, I mean, that's what I'm focusing a lot more on my career and branding all of that together under one thing. But yeah, I mean, if you want to go and check out also Mary Lee Maynard or Wake the Fuck Up, then my WordPress. I'm a writer. Do rants and poems.
Rants.
Yeah, that's what I've been known for, even in university, because I went to university in fine arts, which I wasn't going to do anything with it, but I just went to university to say that I did.
Yeah.
The only one both my families that did more than CGIP or like high school.
Or college.
High school, college, or CGIP, whatever, wherever you are in the world. So it's just I went there. And the best thing that I've learned at university is how to write and critique my own self.
Nice.
So, and they were always saying, my teachers were always saying that my artworks were not equivalent to my writing. So I just went off and I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to write about shit.
Nothing about wrong
anything
with
and everything. And I think that one of my favorite thesis that I handed out was in women's studies. Where I went, like, school to shit. I pretty much went, like, really punk in a state of mind. Punk and hip-hop, like, however you, like, place yourself in your mindset. Where I was like, fuck school. School is shit.
Mm.
And it's not going to bring you anything more than what you can actually bring yourself. So that's, I was there at that time where I was like, fuck everything.
Still true today, though.
It is still true. Like, I still do believe in education. I think that the system is flawed completely.
Everything is, though.
Yeah, everything's flawed. But it's just, like, I have kids, so that's, like, I constantly have to, like, make sure that they actually know more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Especially these days with the COVID and the confinement where they're not actually giving evaluations. They don't have exams. They don't have homework at home.
I don't have any kids. I didn't know that.
It pisses me off. To see that my kids are losing that curiosity, that hunger for knowledge, that to me is so important. That's something that hip-hop always brought to me, that hunger for knowledge and for growth.
So, That's a great way to finish it. I want to thank you for taking the time. And peace out.
Thank you. Peace.